I'll be talking about a sensitive subject today, and it has to do with abortion and the pro-life stance. And I realize that almost all of you, if not all of you, I don't know, are probably pro-life when it comes to abortion. I know there are little, you know, degrees in there and different views within a pro-life stance. So I'm probably not going to tell you anything that's going to change your mind this morning, but I hope that I can give you some different perspectives to think about, maybe some other angles, especially when you're engaging with a person that has a pro-choice viewpoint. You may have that in your family or your circle of friends. Diana and I do. So a couple of important things before we get rolling on this. This is a political issue in our country. There's no doubt that it intersects with our moral stances and politics. But I'm not going to speak in political terms or use political rhetoric today. That's not the focus. Secondly, if you or someone you are close to or somehow you were involved or encouraged an abortion, please stick around to the end. I've got good news for you, because there's always good news when it comes to Jesus. So today is National Sanctity of Life Sunday. It's observed every year. Millions of people are observing it today. And I usually say something on those Sundays, something brief and usually in the prayer time. But this is the first time I've done an entire sermon on abortion, pro-life, and so forth. And today's message is called Abortion is Anti-Gospel. And by that title, I'm saying that abortion is not what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. It's not what Jesus stands for, because Jesus is life. And I believe he's pro-life, and I'm not using the political term, because sometimes that's weaponized, isn't it? And try to buy our votes and things like that. So to be clear, before I go any further, in case you didn't know, this church and our denomination, the Fellowship of Evangelical Churches, are unashamedly against abortion. We're pro-life. Secondly, this church and our denomination offers grace, understanding, forgiveness, and the love of Jesus for those who have had one or somehow connected to one. This morning, Teresa Faber is going to share with us this morning. And Teresa is the director for the Pregnancy Help Center in Camdenton, and then the satellite office for that is in Versailles here. This ministry and ministries like it are reducing the number of abortions in this country, and I'm all for that, no matter what the laws are and all that other thing. If they can reduce abortions, I'm behind it. Because every abortion that is averted is a child saved. So think about that as you welcome Teresa this morning.
So as Jerry shared with you that this month of January of 2024, it commemorates the 40th year that our nation has observed the sanctity of human life. And I think 40 years our nation has observed the sanctity of human life. But God has in all time observed and commemorated the sanctity of human life. I'm going to share a verse with you in Isaiah 49:1. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. The total number of abortions in the United States between 1973 and 2020 was 63.6 million. The number of abortions in the United States in 2020, they don't have the most recent ones out yet, but we know that it's over a million. Abortions per day, 2,548. Abortions per hour, 106. One abortion every 34 seconds. I think together we can bring the darkness of the abortion industry into the light, to fight it and to bring attention to the sanctity of all human life. When we opened the Versailles satellite a year and a half now, I can't believe it's been that long ago, we've been asked several times, are you a Planned Parenthood? And I always tell them, no, we're the exact opposite of the Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is a nonprofit that has taken 9 million lives through abortion since 1973. Let that sink in. Of more than 60 million abortions that have taken place since 1973, Planned Parenthood is responsible for 9 million of those. That's 9 million children who never knew what it meant to be loved outside their mother's womb. 9 million children who never got to grow up, experience the joys and hardships of life, and potentially change the world. And an untold number of women who were taken advantage of and fed lies about what options were available to them. I'm about to tell you a story that occurred at our PHC so that you can see a little bit about what we do and how we try to preserve that sanctity of human life. If you would imagine making an appointment with Planned Parenthood to get the abortion pill, already afraid of being pregnant, already afraid of how you will deal with being a mother, already afraid of so much, but seeing no other way forward, the only option appears to be the abortion pill. They claim it's so easy and it's so painless. Arriving at a Planned Parenthood clinic in St. Louis, the first pill of the RU486, mifepristone, is administered. This chemical blocks the natural hormone, progesterone, produced in a woman's body when she is pregnant. It breaks down the lining of the uterus, and the baby whose heart is already beating is starved to death, dying inside his mother's womb. Sometime in the next 24 to 48 hours, at home and alone, without a doctor's supervision, the second pill, misoprostol, is taken. This pill forces the body into labor, causing severe cramping, contractions, and heavy bleeding. These reactions can last anywhere from a few hours to a few days. Suffering in physical pain and in the isolation of fear, there is nothing to do now but wait for the womb to expel the baby's dead body. But for one lady, this was certainly not her imagination. It was very real, and her body did not expel her dead body, her dead baby. Why? This two-pill RU486 regimen is to be administered to women who are 10 weeks or less along in their pregnancy. But she was 25 weeks. 25 weeks pregnant when Planned Parenthood sent her home with these pills and instructions on what to do. But now in physical pain, knowing something isn't right, and fearing for her own health and even life, she's beginning to panic. She calls Planned Parenthood and tells them what happened, or rather what didn't happen. She is told to return to their clinic in St. Louis so they can do an ultrasound and see if the baby is still viable. So she drives all the way from here at the Lake of the Ozarks to St. Louis, worried, scared, and alone. But now in physical pain, knowing something isn't right, she gets there, and upon arrival, she is ushered back to a room where there is an ultrasound machine. They determine that her pregnancy is still viable, and they must schedule her for a surgical abortion. But when she asks to see the ultrasound pictures, her request is flatly denied. Now her mind is being flooded with other concerns, fears, and questions. Planned Parenthood told her the pills would work, and they did not work. Why? They are telling her that it is because she's 25 weeks pregnant, and so she will need a surgical abortion. But how did they not know this before giving her the pills? If they can't get that right, what else might they not get right? That's what was going around in her mind at this time. Still in pain and now in tears over her situation, she grabs her phone, hurries to her car to look for someone, anyone that can help her. Her Google search popped up with the Pregnancy Help Center, Lake of the Ozarks, at the very top of the list. So she gives us a call. A trained client advocate with our center quickly asked her to come directly to our center, and we would listen and help her navigate her options. She saw on Google that we close at 4 p.m. and worried that she would not make it to our center on time. We assured her that we would wait for her and be here for her when she arrived. She did arrive, and after our counseling and referral for proper medical care, she decided she wanted to give her baby as a gift to a loving couple wanting to adopt. 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love casts out fear." This verse was lived out that day. We called our adoption advocate and we set up a time for them to meet the very next day. She was able to pick the parents of her baby, and this couple was from Texas, and in due time, her baby was born. The adoptive family came up from Texas to receive their blessing. While in the Lake area, they came by our Pregnancy Help Center to see exactly where all of this started. Where did it start that they were able to see it a miracle for them to be able to adopt a baby? We have girls that come in and may have been through certain situations like this. And we always hope that our main goal, yes, is to save the life of that baby, but it's also to share the gospel with that girl when she's there. We give so many services out with the free pregnancy test and the free ultrasound, and we have a baby boutique, and they take classes and earn mommy bucks to get all the supplies they need. But we are there for them just to sit and talk. Here at the Versailles Center, I can tell you many times, we have some that show up on every Wednesday over there just to walk in there and sit at the table to talk with us. They may not need something out of the boutique on that day, but they know that we have something. There's something that we have that they don't have. And sometimes that's Jesus Christ, and that's sharing love with them. And we sit around the table and talk to them. And so just come over and visit us sometime. We really love to have visitors come in and do that. I also have up here pictures, and you're welcome to come by later. But that little baby that was born after going through those two abortion pills, this is him with his dad now, and his family had no repercussions from that pill at all. God was all totally in that whole situation. So we see girls, yes, wanting an abortion. Some it's just girls that just come in and they just need that extra support system, and so we're there also for that, because the number one reason why a girl chooses abortion a lot of times is the support system and the financial end of it, of all those baby supplies, because they are just overwhelmed by the amount that it takes to supply those needs. So I thank you all for doing the baby bottle campaign every year. That helps us to be able to supply that boutique so that when they're earning their mommy bucks, we have the supplies there for them to get. But thank you so much.
Right. Thank you, Teresa. You'll see in your bulletin that the Pregnancy Help Center is looking for funds for a specific project. They're looking at an ultrasound machine, and that's going to be about $40,000. I don't know how far along you guys are, but I personally know a woman who decided to keep her baby after she saw her baby on an ultrasound. And this was in another town over in Harrisonville. And I ended up doing a video piece for that local pregnancy help center. It was called Pregnancy Crisis Center at the time. I interviewed her, and then at the end of the video, we bring the child in after, you know, telling the story. You know, I filmed it. I'm not trying to make this about me, but I filmed it, I edited it, I kind of put the whole thing together, and I would watch that thing, that video, and I would get tears in my eyes, even though I knew this baby was going to show up every time. And I'm sure if I watched it today, the same thing would happen. And what I'm saying is underlining that the ultrasounds do save the lives of children. So consider this. Pray if God is leading you to help with this effort. So let's look in the Bible for some support of a pro-life stance. Teresa gave us some great verses, and we didn't walk on each other. So I've got different verses. Yeah, that's great. We didn't talk to each other what we're going to use, really. But in support of a pro-life stance and why abortion is anti-gospel, I'll show you a couple of verses in Psalms and then some other verses. I'm going to be moving quickly through different books of the Bible, but everything will be on the screens, and so if you want to turn there, you can, but I'm going to be moving quick. So Psalm 39, we've all heard the verses kind of out of the middle of the psalm, and it points out that life begins before a baby is born. And King David wrote about this, and he talks about God forming him, and or knitted together in some verses or some versions, being knitted together in his mother's womb, and how he and all of us, all humans, are fearfully and wonderfully made. You may be familiar with those verses. Now, verse 16 is not always quoted. Sometimes it is. And I find verse 16 to be highly significant. And I'll tell you why in a moment. 139:16 says this, "Your eyes saw my unformed body." Think about that. Your eyes, speaking to God, "your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So not only does God knit us together, put us together in our mother's womb, he knew who we would be before conception. He knew what we would be like, the gifts that he was going to give us, everything that would happen in our lives ahead of time. If God knows who we will be before we are conceived, then how can a fertilized egg be anything other than a person? Psalm 51:6 is another verse that tells us about life. David wrote this one too. "You desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place." I find that verse to be fascinating. If God desires faithfulness in the womb, there is a person in the womb. If God is teaching wisdom in the womb, there is a person in that womb. And I believe the Bible to be true. I know many of you do, most of you do. If you do, then according to the Bible, there is a person in that womb that God wants faithfulness from, that God is teaching wisdom to. Not a mass of tissue that can be aborted at will. I'm going to give you some verses in rapid fire, so it's probably going to be easier to look at the screens, and you can jot them down later if you want to. So abortion is anti-gospel. Here's some reasons why. First of all, abortion says that unborn babies only have value after they are born, but the gospel says that we are image bearers of God. Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Secondly, abortion says that what is conceived of in the womb is a clump of tissue, devoid of any real life, devoid of any potential, any purpose. The gospel says that we are all made in wonder by God. I'm going to go back to Psalm 39 for a moment. Verse 14, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Third, abortion says there is not a place for a baby in my life right now. But the gospel says that we have been adopted by God into his family and that he is our ever forever father and that Jesus loved children. Matthew 19:14. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." Children cannot come to Jesus if they're aborted. Not saying they aren't with him now. I believe they are, but they can't come to know and live their life and bring glory to Jesus. Fourth, abortion says that disabilities keep a person from having a good quality life, or at least some disabilities. But the gospel says that God's glory shines through our weaknesses and that he uses them, including our physical disabilities, even our mental disabilities and limitations. God said this to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So if we decide, if anyone decides to cut short a life because of a disability, and we decide it's too severe, God has no opportunity to work through that disability in this life. And who decides how severe a disability is before, oh, we should abort that child? I don't believe that any of us have the right to cut a life short before or after he or she is born. Rodney Stark, I don't expect any of you have heard of him, but he was a sociologist of religion and a writer. His most well-known book, The Rise of Christianity, it studied why Christianity grew so quickly. It's not a Christian book. It's not written from a Christian perspective. It's strictly sociological. So he doesn't get into the Holy Spirit did this and moved people and all of that. He just looked at sociological issues. So his findings were this, I'm summing up an entire book, but that that Christianity started very small, just very, very, very obscure among a few people, and it began to grow within Greco-Roman culture. And Greco-Roman culture was a very depraved culture at the time. And for a sect, they would call it a sect, but for a new group to grow in that culture doesn't make any sense on the surface. And Stark admits this in his book. The main reasons, or some of the main reasons, that he gave were this. In the first and second century, women were treated better than the rest of the culture treated them. Greco-Roman culture was very, very hard on women. Sometimes women were just cast out by their husbands or whoever and left to die. Sometimes they were killed. Sometimes girl babies were left out to wild animals. I know that's really dark, but that happened. And abortion in Greco-Roman culture was far more prevalent than it is in our culture. So it's just an everyday thing that you accepted. And Stark said that the early Christians were strongly opposed to abortion. So they took care of women, and less women were being killed or cast out or anything, and more children were being born. And again, he's not looking at it from a theological or a Holy Spirit perspective. But even then, the followers of Jesus in the first and second century, they recognized that there was life inside the womb, that there was a person in every woman that had conceived. So Christians have been attempting to save the life of pre-born children for almost 2,000 years. Not all Christians, I get that. There's some today that are okay with it. We're not. The verse that was the inspiration to the title of this sermon, Abortion is Anti-Gospel, is found in something that Jesus said during his time on this earth. And I realize that Jesus is not talking about abortion in this verse, but it can be applied to it because we're talking about life and the viewpoint that Jesus had on life. So it's the 10th chapter of John, Gospel of John, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some verses say abundant, to have life abundant or abundantly. So let's leave that up for a bit. Jesus is using the word thief here to refer to Satan, just in case you didn't catch that. And what he says about Satan, the thief, is consistent with everything we know in the Bible about Satan's character. He steals life, he kills life, he destroys life. That's what he does. That is his nature. And Jesus said he came to bring life, a full life, a life that is abundant. That is consistent with everything we read in the Bible about Jesus. He gives life, he brings life. According to John 14:6, he is life. Life known and cared for by God before you were conceived. Life known and cared for by God when you were in the womb. Life known and cared for from the moment you were born. to the moment that you die on this earth, and life known and cared for by God in eternity if you know Jesus and follow him. Satan is all about death. Death of relationships, death of people, death of humans, death, death, death. That is what Satan's all about. Jesus is all about life. He said he came to give you life, give us life. And that, my friends, is why I say that abortion is anti-gospel, because it's anti-Jesus. It's an affront to a life-giving and a life-loving God. You and I do not get to say when someone lives and someone dies. Only God decides that. Daniel Ritchie was here with us for a few days back in February of 2021, so almost 3 years ago. Some of you may remember him. If you've seen him, you didn't forget him. He was a guy born with no arms. Here's a picture of him here at Bethel 3 years ago. And I'm going to read a quote from a blog post that Daniel wrote. And it's on his website. And this isn't the whole post, okay? This is part of it. "My life hung in the balance over the next 60 seconds as my delivery room doctor offered up an ominous question. Do you want to let him go? Those were the words that welcomed me into the world as that doctor held my armless and lifeless body in his arms. As he assessed me and my situation, all he could tell my parents is that I was not viable. His best case scenario would be that even if I could somehow survive, I would never lead a full life. I thank God that my parents did not hesitate at what the doctor said. Do whatever you can to revive him, was their simple but strong reply. And by God's grace, I lived. And by God's grace, the medical prophecies of my inviability and my inability to lead a full life unraveled quickly. I look across the landscape of my life and see a whole lot that looks like a full life." I'm going to send to you after the service a link to that blog post, and you can read the whole thing if you want to. And I highly encourage you to read that blog post and look around on his site. He's very encouraging. If you're still on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it this week, Daniel is one of the lights on Twitter. And I still call it Twitter anyway. And if you do use Twitter, follow him. He's very good at short things, encouraging, challenging things. So yeah, Daniel has no arms. But Jesus came to give him an abundant life. He didn't say it was just for people with all four limbs. He came to give Daniel abundant life. So now he's a middle-aged guy now. He's got a wife, and he's got two kids. So he can do that. That part of his abundant is there. He can drive a car with no special equipment. He can eat perfectly fine on his own without any help. He can dress himself and do everything you can do, pretty much. And he joked with me one time, telling me that he had not mastered tying a necktie, and so would it be okay if he didn't wear a tie in the service? As of course he can. And he told me something else privately, and it may be in one of his posts, I don't know. But he told me that his dad would not let him act like a victim, or to feel like a victim, and get that victim mentality that's so prevalent in our culture now. And he pushed him to figure out how to do things on his own. And he did, with the help of Jesus. He figured out pretty much everything. I was kind of embarrassed when I said, "Do you need me to pick you up at the airport?" And he said, "No, I will drive there." And then I kind of embarrassed myself too when I found that there were no special things in the car, levers or anything. He drives with his feet. So Daniel said this, and he would tell you that he has a life. It's a full life. It's an abundant life. And he goes around telling people about Jesus as a traveling minister. Look on his website. His calendar is full. He's going to all sorts of places. God is using what the world calls a disability or a weakness, and he turned it into a strength. People are curious about Daniel because he doesn't have any arms. And so people are drawn to him and like, how does this work? And that gets him in the door to tell his story and to point people to Jesus. So a disability has become a strength in the hands of Jesus. If his parents had listened to the doctors, all the things that Daniel has done in his ministry and all the things that he's doing now would have been non-existent. So, yeah, read the blog. Daniel is staunchly pro-life. And I hope you read that post sometime today. Our scripture, let's bring our scripture back up. Jesus came to bring life. And this is the part where I want to speak to those of you that this might have brought up some feelings for you. If you've ever had an abortion, and maybe nobody else in this room knows about it, or you've participated in one, paid for one, encouraged one, and encouraged someone to have one in the past, you need to know, and I need you to pay attention if you fit in this category, and those of you that doesn't fit, this is how you can, I hope that you'll show grace and mercy if you encounter this. The grace and forgiveness is for you as well. This does not exclude you from the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You do not stand in condemnation if you are a follower of Jesus. Even though, I get it, you took a life. I get it. Don't let anyone tell you different if this is part of your past. I realize it may still affect you. I've known a handful of women that have shared with me about an abortion in the past, and it has affected them for decades. I'm not all about that victim mentality I talked about that seems so prevalent today, especially online. But you know what? Some people really are victims. If this has been part of your life, you might not have thought about it this way before. But victim mentality, the answer is not to wallow in it, but to take it to Jesus, who will forgive you. And he's already died for all of your sins on the cross. But again, even if you chose to have one, you helped someone, you paid for it, listen, you are a victim. First of all, you are a victim of Satan and his lies and his tricks and his the way he wants to spread his desire for death. And you are also a victim of a culture that has normalized abortion and said, oh, it's no big deal. The devil is trying to take part of your life away. If you've participated in one, you've had one, he's trying to use that to take part of your life away. It's part of that abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Now, here's the good news of Jesus Christ. Whenever it comes to Jesus, it's good news. You are free in Jesus. You can choose to believe the truth from God and what he says about you. Don't believe a lie from Satan. Don't choose lies. Jesus paid for your sins on the cross, including that one. There is no sin that's too big for the cross of Jesus Christ. So for you folks that have this in your past, and for those of you that have it that might minister to someone in the future, I'm going to do two things this morning. First of all, we're going to sing the blessing, as we often do to close our services, but this time we're going to stay seated as we do. And if abortion is part of your past in any way, would you accept us singing the blessing to you? We don't know who we're singing to necessarily, but accept the blessing in the name of Jesus and remember that you are free. Jesus has freed you from this. Now, the second thing is, I'll ask the prayer team to come up here, and I'll be up here as well. We do that every week, and we will be here to pray with you for any reason. So if you need prayer in this area, I'm going to make a deal with the whole church this morning. All right, I hope you'll take my deal. So if you see someone up here praying, they may be up here for some other reason that has nothing to do with what I talked about today. They may need prayer for healing or something else. I'm going to ask you, here's the deal, do not assume that they are up here for an abortion-related issue. So I'm going to ask you, church, if you can promise that, a nice, strong amen in just a minute so that people will be encouraged. You're not going to look at them and wonder what they are, and they shouldn't be embarrassed to ask for prayer, all right? Can you do that, church? Amen. All right, thank you very much. I don't want anyone who needs prayer for this or anything else to hesitate. Family or my friends are going to see me up there. And for you women that have had miscarriages, I know many, many are here that have a miscarriage or have had a miscarriage. I realize I wasn't talking about that, but it still can stir up really strong feelings about that. And we're here to pray for you in that area as well. So, all right, we're going to stay seated, but let's sing the blessing. While we do, prayer team, would you find a spot up here and spread out so people can come to you? Don't clump as the prayer team, all right? You may not know who you are about to bless this morning through the song, but God does. And if you need a blessing this morning, receive it from your church family in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that your forgiveness is limitless. We thank you for dying for all our sins. Most of us, if not all of us, have some things in the past that it's kind of hard to almost believe that you would forgive that thing. But we believe that you have forgiven that thing because of the cross, because of you, Jesus. I pray for any of my friends that have been involved in an abortion in any way. I pray that they can find freedom. I pray that they can know your grace and know that they have been forgiven in full. And Lord, I pray for the Pregnancy Help Center, both in Camdenton and in Versailles. Show us how we can support them as a church, support them as individuals. And Father, I pray they get the needed funds for the ultrasound machine quickly. Thank you for letting us be here today and gather in your name. We pray it all in Jesus, the name of Jesus, amen.